fifth case, the United States versus Omidia Garcia. Ms. Joseph.
Good morning, and may it please the court. Nancy Joseph for defendant Almeida Garcia. By way of background, Your Honor, this case arose out of a conviction in the Eastern District of Wisconsin for illegal reentry. Initially, counsel filed an Anders brief in this case, considering one, whether or not Mr. Almeida Garcia can raise the issue that the court did not consider his fast-track argument, whether it was foreclosed by this court's precedent. And then secondly, whether Kimbrough had changed the landscape such that the court was required to consider his fast-track disparity argument in granting him a sentence below the advisory guidelines. However, counsel had failed to address in the Anders brief the issue whether the court's silence on the issue was error, and this court ordered that counsel address this issue accordingly. That is the issue before this court today, whether the failure to acknowledge, to address, and otherwise remain silent on Mr. Almeida Garcia's fast-track disparity argument, where there was procedural error that should be reversed and remanded to the district court. The advisory guidelines in this case, Your Honor, were 57 to 71 months. Mr. Almeida Garcia at sentencing argued for an advisory guideline, a below advisory guideline sentence of 36 months. In making that argument, Mr. Almeida Garcia argued, one, that the offense of conviction was nonviolent. Two, there had been change in circumstances in his family, meaning that the reason he had illegally reentered the country was to be with his children, but one child was back in Mexico, one child had been adopted, so he didn't have a reason to return again. And three, Mr. Almeida Garcia argued that the 36-month sentence that he was recommending would have been a typical sentence in a district with fast-track program. And fourthly, Mr. Almeida Garcia argued that his advisory guideline, the 57 to 71 months, was primarily driven by his prior conviction for a drug offense. The court, in addressing sentencing, started appropriately with the 3553A factors, looked at the nature of the offense, talked about the characteristics of Almeida Garcia, mainly his prior record, use of alcohol, but the court remained silent on Mr. Almeida Garcia's fast-track disparity argument. The problem with the silence is that because the court did not address it at all, the record is blank, and this court does not know whether, one, whether the sentencing court considered it at all. The court is left not knowing whether the sentencing court was rejecting outright the argument, and or whether the sentencing court believed that it did not have the authority given this court's precedence. That's the problem with this.
Are you talking about the fast track?
Yes, I am, Your Honor.
All right, because that's just one sentence, you know.
Yes, Your Honor. I agree that it was not a lengthy argument, but it was presented as one of many reasons why the court should depart downward. Although it was not a lengthy argument, it was not a frivolous argument. It was an argument with merit. At least two circuit has recognized it. I believe the Third and the First Circuit has recognized the argument as a reason for departing downward. And also, Your Honor, given the state of the law in this circuit, that is, pre-Kimbrough, the circuit had barred it as a consideration, and post-Kimbrough, it's up in the air, and it's under consideration of by this court and has not been decided in the case of Sanchez-Gonzalez, that it was meritorious enough for the court to address it, whether the court was going to do it in one sentence or for the court to address whether or not it was taking that into consideration or whether the court was rejecting it.
As I understand fast-track programs in those districts that have them, there's an expectation that they're only going to be applied to cases where there's no significant record of violence. Is that right?
Your Honor, and the government makes that argument that perhaps that Mr. Almeida Garcia would not even have qualified in a district fast track. And what the government says that it may have, but the government did not argue that Almeida Garcia was categorically barred from benefiting in a fast track district had he been arrested there. So the answer to that question specifically, Your Honor, that is a factual issue that the sentencing court could have made a finding on had the government made that argument. So in the first instance, I believe it's for the sentencing court to decide.
Judge Randa indicated that there had been arrests for burglary, second-degree sexual assault, and battery. Were there convictions on any of those charges?
No, there were not, Your Honor. Those are listed in the pre-sentence, the PSR, in the other arrest category. No convictions on those.
So no violent convictions?
There was a conviction, I believe, for a battery, but not for sexual assault and I think the burglary that you mentioned. Mr. Almeida-Garcia's criminal history was primarily driven by a prior drug conviction, as I mentioned before. So I think on the question, I don't think the question whether or not Mr. Almeida-Garcia would have otherwise qualified should be dispositive here, because the court in the first instance, as the sentencing court, did not address it. So we are left blank again whether the silence meant, well, you wouldn't have qualified anyway, or whether the silence meant something else. And we just don't know without the sentencing court letting us know. Similarly, Your Honor, the government argued that Mr. Almeida Garcia should not get the benefit of the fast-tracked disposition because he did not suffer any of the detriments of the fast-track disposition, such as waiver of pretrial motions, waiver of indictment, or waiver of appeal. And my response to that as well is that is also not dispositive. It's sort of we can't punish Mr. Almeida Garcia for not taking advantage of a program that does not exist in the Eastern District of Wisconsin. However, Mr. Almeida Garcia did not file any pretrial motions in his case. He promptly pled guilty, and the only issue being raised on appeal is this fast-track disparity. I think the point of the fast-track disparity argument, Your Honor, is that Mr. Almeida Garcia's sentence should not be driven by geography, whether he's arrested in the Eastern District of Wisconsin or another jurisdiction where there is fast-track. The silence in this case does not let us know what the sentencing court think of the argument, whether it was considered under 3553A. So for those reasons, I ask the court to reverse.
Thank you, Ms. Joseph. Ms. Kraft?
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Carol Kraft. I'm an assistant United States attorney in the Eastern District of Wisconsin, and I represent the United States this morning. The single issue before this court is whether or not Judge Randa committed procedural error by not addressing the defendant's essentially one-sentence statement indicating that as one of the four reasons for requesting a below-the-guideline sentence, he would have qualified, he might have qualified for that particular sentence, the 36-month sentence, if he had been arrested in a fast-track district. it's the government's position that he clearly did not commit, that the court clearly did not commit procedural error. Under United States versus Cunningham, which is the case, and it's cited in our brief, that says it may be error if a court fails to mention at a defendant's sentencing a in its analysis of the factors, a ground of recognized legal merit. Now, it's our position in this case that at the time that Judge Randa sentenced the defendant in this case, that the fast-track disparity was not a ground of recognized legal merit in this circuit. The cases that this court has decided consistently since Martinez, I believe in 2005, have held that a disparity based on the fact fast-track disparity does not result in an unreasonable sentence. So for Judge Randa not to pass on that in articulating a reason for not recognizing it was not procedural error.
In fact, that case law withstands Kimbrough?
Well, and that's one of the issues. I believe at the time that Judge Randa sentenced the defendant in this case, and actually as of today, unless the court has decided Sanchez-Gonzalez adversely to the government, I think that Kimbrough does not overrule the precedent that the fast-tracked disparity does not create an unreasonable sentence for defendants who are not in fast-tracked districts. And the reason for that is that Kimbrough, in my understanding of Kimbrough, is that it allowed district courts to disagree with the guidelines, that had been perpetrated by the Sentencing Commission on policy grounds.
Interesting
but not
choice of verb there.
But yeah.
That had been promulgated. How's that? did not give authority authority to the courts, to the district courts, to disagree with laws or regulations that had been passed on by Congress itself. And in the PROTECT Act, Congress specifically authorized the disparity in sentencing that exists because of the fast-tracked programs in the fast-track districts. And so I don't believe that, at least in the law of this circuit, unless it's been decided since 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon, that Kimbrough, in fact, has any effect on it. Now, I do recognize that the Third Circuit and I believe the First Circuit have taken the position that it can, but I would submit that in this case, that the defendant did not even in his sentencing at his sentencing hearing present the types of facts that would allow him to take advantage of a court's analysis of the fast-track system. The Third Circuit case, which was cited by Ms. Joseph in her brief, Ariluca Zambio, I can't read my own writing, is cited for the proposition that since Kimbrough courts can consider disparity, it's distinguishable from the facts here because they hold that a generalized argument to the court that the sentence should be below the guideline range because of the fast-track disparity is alone not sufficient to justify a variance. In this case, there was no objection to the PSR report. There was no sentencing memorandum that was filed. There was not really any argument to say that and with all due respect to counsel, Ms. Joseph's statement that he would have been eligible for a 36-month sentence had he been arrested in a fast-track district without developing it any further for the court to analyze whether or not there were factors in his case that would warrant it is just not even an argument. It was a statement or a claim that was made in connection with a request that was made for the first time at the sentencing hearing. And under the facts of this case, I think both legally because this was not a legally recognized ground in this district or in this circuit, and also because the facts of this case were not developed in a way that would have triggered an obligation by Judge Randa to, in fact, assess whether or not a sentence disparity should occur here based on the fast-track disparity, results in the fact that the defendant should lose. His sentence in this case should be affirmed, and this court should, on the basis that this court should find that there was no procedural error on Judge Randa's part at the time of sentencing. And that's really basically my argument, unless the court has questions for me.
Apparently not. Thank you, Ms. Graff. Joseph?
Your Honor, unless the court have further questions, we will submit our arguments on the brief. We believe that the court's silence has left a blank for this court to review, and it should be sent back for the court to tell us what it considered of the fast-track argument. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rose. Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.